Okay, so this is Michelle, and this is Practical Applications, Call 6. Get results with your words. It's our sixth and final call. We're going to begin in Shavasana, as we always do, so we can gather our energy for this call. And I'm going to put my headphones on. Sometimes I'm getting some feedback in the line. So for this part, you can have camera on or camera off, whatever serves you best, so that you can really go inward. So let's take these few minutes for ourselves at the beginning of the call.
Place of centeredness, a place of alignment, a place of quiet energy. That's the place where all the most important and most empowering words come from. If you're seated, you can softly close your eyes. If you wear glasses, take them off so that you can go into that inner world. If you're lying down, make sure you're comfortable. The back is comfortable. If it's not, raise the legs so that the low back is comfortable. They could be up on a stool or up on a couch. So be comfortable, be at ease, be in a place where your heart center can be open. The chest is open. Softly close your eyes. Scan the body for any tension. Where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Find the next place where you're holding tension. It's the energy of our day, the energy of the shoulds, the energy of what we're supposed to do, the energy of other people, all that gets stored right in the body. Find that place, that next place of tension in the body, and send the breath there. Breathe into that spot and let it go. We hold tension in our faces. So relax the cheeks, relax the jaw, relax the tongue, the lips just barely touching. There are different faces we hold. There's a face we hold for the public. Just let that face go. There's a face we hold for our families. It's not needed here. Let that face go. There's a face we hold in our professional lives, or teaching, or training, or meeting clients. That face also is not needed here. Let it go. Let the face be soft and smooth as butter. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Watch the breath. Have you stopped to notice the breath at all today? Often, if we don't have some formal time, some time that we've set aside to notice, we don't even notice. Go through a whole day, don't even notice we're breathing. So take this time for yourself now. What's the breath like? Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Is it deep or shallow? Is it ragged or smooth? What's the quality of your breath today? Probably is very much related to the quality of your day, the quality of your mind, the joy that you bring to this day or not. Just notice without judgment. Where's the breath today? Here, now. Notice. Watch the breath. Be the breath. If you find your mind wandering as mine will, gently, without judgment, let that thought go as unimportant right now. Return to the breath. And notice in this quiet place that you are not your thoughts. They're not you. They're just passing through. They often don't even belong to us. They came from somewhere else, some other time. They're just passing through. You know you're not your thoughts because you're the one watching. Who is that watcher? The one who's watching. In the yoga tradition, we call that the witness consciousness. You can't be your thoughts if you can watch them. Know that you are so much bigger than you know yourself to be day to day. You're the witness consciousness. Watch the breath. Be the breath. And let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence. And coming out of Shavasana, or this meditation practice, as easily as you came in, not holding on to the prior moment or second, it begins just with the thought that soon you will move, separating out thought and action or reaction. Just a thought, don't need to react to it. It's mind training. Thought, soon you will move. And then allow the breath to deepen. Start to move the body in any way that feels good to you. And then bend the knees. If you're on your back, roll to the side. Press yourself up to sitting. Softly opening the eyes. If you're in a seated meditation, slowly, slowly open the eyes to a soft gaze. And return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. So we can practice that deep presence, being here just in one place. That is at the heart of every powerful word we will speak, every powerful moment we'll experience, every powerful next level of the company and our work in the world that we create. It all comes from this quiet presence, this being here. So thank you for, again, returning to this virtual circle. Seeing the cameras pop on, thank you. And I'd love to hear from one or two of you. We always want to focus on what we love. It's mind training. Can we look into the world and see what others are seeing, but see with different eyes? Whether we're looking at our company, our loved ones, the world as a whole, politics, health, the latest action in our companies. When we train our mind to see what we love, it grows. It grows so naturally and so beautifully, it's astonishing, including the words we use. Years ago, I taught a weekly writing workshop. Some of you have heard this story, and somebody came in one day and said, "Is everybody here a professional writer?" They got kind of intimidated at first, hearing the beautiful words that people were speaking. And around the room, it's like, "I haven't written since high school. No, I've always been afraid of writing. I don't know anything about writing." Because it was coming from this place of presence, this deep place inside of us, the place of silence from which our most authentic words come. So, and it comes from noticing what's beautiful in the writing as well. We see what's beautiful, we see what's beautiful, we see what's beautiful. The other drops away as unimportant, just like those thoughts in Shavasana. That thought's not, doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter right now. I can return to it later. Good thought, bad thought, whatever. Not important right now. Train to focus. Okay. So what did you love in this practice of Shavasana or this practice of meditation today? Who would like to begin? Yeah, Em, thank you.
I loved when I was laying on the floor and my puppy came up and would lick my glasses. And then I took my glasses off and he still wouldn't leave me alone. So I just realized, well, I do love my puppy. So I'm just going to go with it. And so that was a great part of my day, just to spend laying there. And he was, I guess you could call it bothering me, but it didn't bother me.
The things that we learn in this practice are immense. Oh no, that thing happened. Everything is wrong and I have to fix it. It has to be perfect or I can't do my perfect Shavasana. And actually the ability to be with what is and to flow with that happens in that moment when the puppy approaches. Or, you know, I've been practicing yoga, of which this practice is one part, for many, many years. And when Dana was just a baby, she would like come over to me and crawl on me and want to cuddle up with me, hold my hand. And when I used to teach retreats in Mexico, which I did so like 11 years running. And at one retreat center, they had dogs and cats, and the dogs, and especially the dogs, would come and practice yoga with us on the beach. It's like a vast property. They could wander anywhere on that property and they would come and be with us. Dogs, no good energy, right? Animals, no good energy. And that's so beautiful. And so when we can flow with that and see the beauty in that moment, the next person, somebody says, well, I don't really, you know, like the price, or I don't really think that that's for me, or whatever it is in a strategy session that we don't want to hear, or we're speaking and the audience seems to drift, or whatever it is that we don't like, we've trained over and over and over again to see the beauty in that moment. If they're not hearing me in that moment, I can pivot in that moment and then they can hear me. And noticing it, how beautiful is that? All starts in this one practice. Thank you, Anne. Beautiful. Let's hear one more. What did you love in this practice today?
May I ask a question?
Yes, but I want to hold it for just 1 second because I'd love to stay with, because the vibration of the question and the vibration of the solution and the vibration of the answer and the vibration of what we love are not the same vibration. They're not the same energy. So yes, I want to hear the question, but first I want to hear one more. What did we love here? And then we'll turn to your question, Karen. Yeah, Dottie.
I loved your reminding us to think on the positive, your expression of who's speaking and don't buy into that is the way and it was pertinent for me because I've been having a hard time lately with depression and being down. And so it was really wisdom for me.
We all have those moments, right? Thank you. We all have those moments where something feels like has gone wrong. I mean, last March, and we all, oh my goodness, what's happened in the world, right? If we didn't have a moment like that, if there's anybody here on the call that didn't have at least a moment of that, right? I'd be astonished. So we all have some moments like that in our lives. And then which voice am I going to listen to? And if I'm listening to that voice inside, that editor that doesn't serve me, and that's the voice that I'm hearing and listening to without even knowing that I'm doing it, and without a quiet practice to even hear what that voice is and then learn to let it go, how am I going to let go of the voices of those around? If I can't even do it internally to me, how am I going to do it with those around me? Somebody says something, I don't quite like it, and I'm going to react. If I'm reacting to my own voices, it's just, that's my practice. If I learn to let that voice go and return to the silence, that's what I'll practice with both inside myself and then with others. And that is so powerful, I don't have the words to say it. And as Thich Nhat Hanh teaches, beautiful meditation teacher, nominated for a Nobel Prize by Martin Luther King Jr. And that's a fabulous testimonial to his spirit. It's like one person who is aligned is more powerful than millions who are not. And so what does it take to find that center and that balance inside us? And this is one really powerful place to begin.
That's really beautiful. I'm so happy that you added the part about if you can't do it for yourself, how can you expect to do it for others?
Sometimes,
connect that without your help. Thank you.
Right. Sometimes it's like it's this close. And if you've spoken, if you can mute your line when you're not speaking, just to make sure we've got a nice clear sound here and for the recording. And hi, there was a number of people who told me I can't be here live today. Hi, glad you're here in the recording. So sometimes it's this close to us that we can't see it, but as soon as it's articulated, it's like, oh, right. I'm just going to not pay attention to what's going on inside me, but I'm going to go out and do my work in the world. It's like, I'm working too hard. Jack Canfield says 1 hour in the inner world, equivalent to 7 hours in the outer world. Here's one of the reasons why. Am I working too hard? I'm going to work and work and work in that, conversation with that person, but I haven't started here. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. And Karen, thank you for waiting. Now, yes, please, your question. Love to hear it. Oh, no. Now you're not a place where you can ask, or you're muted and can't unmute.
No, here I was just writing down your quote. I'd love to keep that. 1 hour in the inner world is seven in the outer. That makes a lot of sense to me. So thank you for taking my question. It is actually relevant to the Shavasana in many ways, because with my book and the research I did behind the book and the experience, I followed a lot of Michael Singer's practices, and he's a yogi, of course, as well. And what he said that really made sense for me, but I want to see how it fits with what you said earlier. So, because I want them to come together, hopefully at some point, sure. So I can make sense of the two, because I adore your wisdom around the yogic tradition. Mm-hmm. So he was saying that when you look at something or when an event happens, to try not to think of it either as, oh my goodness, this is a bad event, this is terrible, it's stressful, blah, 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 but also the opposite. So that's the part I wanted to ask you about, is rather than saying, oh my God, I got 8 sales this week, that's just so awesome, oh my God, I am just on cloud 9, this is so great. And he says, don't believe either of those voices, and don't become involved emotionally or whatever, with either of those voices. And so that is a practice that I've been working at. So when you said earlier about, focusing on the positive, I know what you're saying, but it's also, I'm trying to bring it together with what I'm trying to practice. So mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Great question, Karen. So here's the thing. I used to teach a whole week long retreat related to the answer to this question. So let me see.
Can you do it again sometime, Michelle? I would sign up for that thing.
Well, it's now dispersed into a whole year long journey where we teach the principles of that in a whole bunch of different places, right? But this one piece of it used to be deeply in a week long retreat that I taught. And so the most important piece for it for you right here, right now, give me 1 second. At the heart of what you're asking about is non-attachment. And it's in the yogic tradition, it's part of the one way we access that is in the kleshas. The kleshas are, according to the yogis, they're the things that bind us. They're the fetters, all right? And there are 5 of them. There's other teachings and trainings in the yoga tradition, but there are 5 fetters. Anytime this is happening to us, we're going to suffer. That's what the yogis teach. And I'll get to the direct connection in just a minute, all right, to what you're asking. But anytime we do any one of these things, we're going to suffer. And the yogis say, it's not from on high, like somebody is telling us, and so thou shalt. It's a different feeling with the yogis. It's like, go ahead. Life is experiential. Try it this way, try it that way. You're going to find over and over again that every time we do this, we suffer, right? And the kleshas, avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesa, right? So in the Sanskrit, they don't all, I teach them in other places, but the one that is most appropriate in this place and in connection with your question is the 2 of them, the kleshas of raga and dvesha. Raga is clinging, is hanging on to. I have to have this or else. Dvesha is its mirror opposite, pushing away aversion. I don't like that. And so many of us end up spending all of our lives pulling this thing toward me, pushing that thing away, and it's exhausting. It's one of the reasons that we practice in Shavasana or in meditation. It's like, there's a thought, I'm just gonna let it go. I'm not gonna push it away. I'm not gonna pull it toward me. I'm just letting it go. I'm just letting it go. I'm just letting it go, right? And when we are caught in either one of those, and we can be caught in ways that are, so this is like, you know, the 2-minute version of a, you know, of a week long, a year long training, but just like some pieces that will help you here. So anytime we're caught in either of those, we're gonna suffer. And we get caught at more nuanced levels than we think. So if you're hearing my voice in this class, this is probably not so much you. I'm attached to my car, you know? It's probably not this audience, right? I'm so attached to my car. My red car is my identity. I mean, we see that with, you know, guys and whether they call it midlife crisis or whatever, and it's gonna cause suffering. It looks like it's a snazzy thing. We can so easily see that here, but we don't see it at the more subtler levels. And in this community, it's gonna be more subtler levels. I'm attached to the idea of myself as a leader. I'm attached to the idea of myself as a yogi or, you know, as an entrepreneur. I'm attached to making sure that this person gets it because I'm training them. And if they don't get it, I've failed. I'm attached to, like, we can be attached to all kinds of things. We can be attached to exactly like you said, Karen, that you know, wow, I made 8 sales. And then it goes from, there's a difference between loving kindness, right? In the Buddhist tradition, they're talking about loving kindness. And this is a week-long loving kindness retreat. So it talks about those nuanced differences for one thing, right? So that I used to teach. So loving kindness. I love what I see. This is beautiful, but it's very different from attachment. And they're like mirror images of each other. And it's like in Buddhism, they call it the near enemy or far enemy. I forget the language they use. I'm not a Buddhist, but some of their trainings are really helpful, right? So mind trainings. So I love that thing in front of me, but I'm not attached to it. I'm not like, if I don't pull that thing toward me, everything falls apart. So when I come from that place of non-attachment, the world is in a pandemic, that's okay. The world comes out of the pandemic, that's okay. My launch goes exactly the way I want, that's okay. My launch doesn't go exactly the way I want, that's okay. In the Buddhist tradition, that's equanimity as well, right? That's equanimity. It's like I'm not triggered either on the one end or the other. Praise or blame, it's all the same to me. So to me, these teachings, they're entirely compatible because there's a big difference between, oh, look, that's what I love there, but I'm not attached to it. I'm not pulling it toward me. I don't need that thing. It's just there and I'm looking at it and I'm not needing it even for my own joy or for my own fulfillment. I'm just looking out in the world and it's like, oh, that's the thing I love. And I'm not going to push away that thing that I don't like. And I'm not going to pull this thing toward me. I'm not going to get caught in raga and dvesha. I just am doing a mind training to see the thing that I love without attachment. So that's the way that these teachings are compatible. Yeah, Andrea, go ahead.
Just to further on that, because I just want to make sure that I have this clear in my head, because I love like the positive celebration, but what I'm hearing is it's the reason that's under the surface that is not just the beauty of selling 8, like having 8 sales, it's the what that means to the ego, the identity, or the psyche that is coming with that. That's where the attachment is coming in versus non-attachment of like, this is so exciting and it's so beautiful, but it's not attached to my identity in some way. Am I getting that right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So, and again, like this, goodness, we could spend a whole week on this easily.
Right.
It's a deep level question, but it's deeply related to our words too, and the authenticity of our words and where they come from. So give me one second because there's 10 things that I want to teach you all at once. 10 things I want to do to respond to Karen, what you've said, and Andrew, what you've said, and then so much I want to share with you today. I mean, non-attachment is happening right here in the moment. I have this plan of all these things that I want to teach you, but here's something that's come up. So we address that. I'm not attached to the agenda and how it's going to go. And I know there's plenty of time for all of it, and it will all happen. It happens in everyday moments all the time. If I'm attached to that agenda, I'm going to suffer because here it is on the spot, right? Or I might be, you know, push away. No, you can't ask that right now because, right? And I'm pushing away. I'm going to suffer. So it's in everyday moments, right? And the celebration, like we celebrate it. This is wonderful. I love this. I'm happy about it, but I don't need to be attached to that. And this celebration can start tinging into something else when raga happens, when attachment happens. I'm celebrating. But when I notice how I'm celebrating, something inside me has changed. And it can happen in an instant because I'm celebrating. Boy, I better keep celebrating because if I don't celebrate, more good things won't happen. Oh, I better celebrate because I know I'm supposed to celebrate. All that's attachment or aversion, right? I celebrate because then I want more things to come to me. It's really attachment. It's not celebration. It's not clean, you know? And I'm celebrating and oh my goodness, how am I going to top that attachment? I'm celebrating because I know that if I don't celebrate for 5 minutes, 5.6 minutes, whatever it is, bad things will probably come my way, attachment, right? So that's why, again, the mind training, so we can pay attention to what's going on and not be attached to praise or blame. There's another story about that, a meditation teacher and who put up a statue of the Buddha in their temple, right? And somebody came up and said, you know, there were two notes on the bulletin board after they finished teaching. And the first note said, I can't believe you did this. This is outrageous. Don't you know there are Christians coming here, there are Hindu people, and this is just like offensive to me. I don't want to come back ever again. Okay. Not attached, right? Just like that thought that comes up, whatever it is, I just let it go in this practice, right? And then the next note pulls down. It's like, when I saw this statue, I burst into tears. This is the most beautiful thing. And I'm a Christian, but I know that all faiths are welcome here. And this reminds me of my own faith. I had such a deep heart. It brought tears to my eyes. And I want to bring 10 friends tomorrow. Non-attachment, praise or blame, it's all the same to me. And that doesn't preclude looking at what I love and allowing that to grow. And if we think of it through the lens of story, stories are filled with paradox and paradox presents possibility. So if it still feels contradictory to you, think of it this way. When's the last time that your life was only lived on one level? The example I often give that is like, oh, I love my daughter. And sometimes I just hate her, you know, she just bring out the worst in me, like that moment, right? And I so love her, like the breath itself. Both of those things are true. Our world is filled with paradox. Can we not look for just the one linear thing? And what is the story that I want to pick up in that moment that will be the most empowering for me to do my work in the world? So Karen, that was a deep dive question. Andrea, love the comment. And again, you know, part of my PhD work was about, you know, the genre, and we have different genres, the genre of autobiography and how it works, and entire year reading a book after, you know, a book a day, and, you know, comprehensive exams to understand how identity works beyond the scope of what we can do here, right? But I want to give you the most essential pieces. Non-attachment, not getting caught in that raga devesha, training our focus. And to train my focus on what I love is energetically similar to training my focus on the breath, you know, not needing to pay attention to that story right now. So training the focus, a deep non-attachment. And then my company is called Story Freedom. We have an event coming up called Story Freedom. I'll tell you about that, right? So when we truly achieve story freedom, we have the freedom to celebrate, to love on this, and to not even be upset at those moments where we're attached. I really didn't want that person to say that in that strategy session, for instance. And then I just embrace all that with loving kindness. I don't have to be mad at myself for not reacting the right way, because, you know, again, it's not at the level of the red car that in this group we're going to get caught. It's at these more subtle, nuanced levels of the movement of the mind, which is why I advocate everyone starting out your day with Shavasana. These days, my day has changed a little bit. I find I need a little bit more movement first before I go into Shavasana. It's just different times. And that's what I'm noticing in my body. I'll go empty the dishwasher, then I'll go do my yoga practice, right? So, but whatever it is for you, what is it that creates that time of stillness so that the words come from that place? So thank you, Andrea, for that. Thank you, Karen, for that great, great question. Did that give you some places to go to with that?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to, whatever. Yes, so what I'm hearing for myself is, like you had said, look for the good. Like when you start your day, look for the good. So I think what you're saying is, because my most negative part of my day, still to this day, even after all my years of practice, is the morning. So for me, I think it would be more releasing those negative thoughts in the morning, like just continue to practice releasing them, which allows the good to come naturally rather than say, oh, that was a bad thought. I need to think an opposite thought.
Absolutely. Yes.
Which is not my style. I feel like it's more in flow if I recognize, oh, there it is again, let it go. And then be in that natural form of gratitude, organic gratitude.
And that's the exact, that's one of the many, many things that we're doing when we start the call in meditation or Shavasana, right? Because whatever that thought is, I'm releasing it. And I have a practice of, I can just release that because I've done it 5,000 million times over in the practice of Shavasana. The practice isn't to stop those thoughts. And in fact, one of a client I worked with for goodness, 3 years, she came with a 30-year meditation history. And as we started working together and worked with like fabulous teachers across the planet, she was like, oh my God, what I've been doing for 30 years is trying to steal the mind. Like, and it was at very subtle levels. I'm trying to steal and stop the mind. And all that was happening was this huge layer of very sophisticated pushing all those thoughts down, and it was coming up in her body. It was affecting her business, all kinds of things, right? That thought comes up. I let it go. That thought comes up. I let it go. I notice it sooner. I let it go. You know, the world is a pandemic. I let that go. I was on a ship at that time, and I might not get off it. Oh, well, I let that go. And I go out for a beautiful dinner with my friend on that ship. Not knowing if we're going to get off or not. I let that go. We think about, you know, wow, if we end up on the ship and we're here for weeks and months, we'll have the best story that we're going to be broadcasting to the world, because I'm sure they'll give us access to internet. Isn't that fun? And even let the joy of that go. It's just like, you know, this practice teaches us that freedom. Again, my company, Story Freedom, right? So, it related to what you said here, and then we're going to move on from this, but a great, great question at the outset. Thank you, Karen. A beautiful meditation teacher named, she's a Zen teacher, I believe, Sherry Huber. She's got a beautiful book called The Key. I think she's got a couple of beautiful books that are on my shelf. I've read over and over and over again. I think this one's from The Key. And she says, like, all that's needed to live a great life, or I can't remember what, all that's needed for all that we want is to accept all that is completely unacceptable to us. Like, what? Which doesn't mean condoning an action, which doesn't mean I embrace violence or terrorism. It doesn't mean that, like, that I think that's a good action, but it's just, can my circle of what I include go like this? And when I practice, oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. I might not be able to look at the person who is, you know, abused or hurt or whatever me the most and practice that right in the moment. But that's what that week-long retreat was aimed at. So loving kindness practice that eventually allows me to do that too. Then there's like no distinction and there's no raga, no devesha, but I start with where it's easy. Oh, here's something that I love. Here's something that I love. Here's something that I love. It's practice of a metta meditation in the Buddhist tradition. That's part of the core of what I used to teach so many years ago, right? So again, beyond the scope of what we're doing here, but great, great question. Some of the pieces that are important, man, I would start your day with Shavasana or meditation. There's multiple reasons far beyond what I can say here. And it's easy to talk about, but if we don't do it, it doesn't move anything, you know? So practicing that for multiple reasons, knowing that this push and pull inside of us, raga and devesha, is happening. It means if we're human, it's happening to us. The sooner I can catch that, the more I can be free. Remember Story Freedom. And the more I can be free in any conversation with another human being. And our whole business is a conversation, both verbally and non-verbally, always with other human beings on this planet. And for some, it includes the animals, the plants, the world, right? So how can I enhance that conversation? Well, I need to know the pull and push inside me. If I don't know what my mind is saying and how it's running the show, how am I going to know that about the person in front of me? So really going inward to practice that. And that our words are rooted. Our words are indicators. I was training in another context on another campus yesterday, a campus that I train on regularly. And one woman, she's built a huge business on the planet. She just said one sentence in her turn to ask a question. And I'm like, there's this and that and that and that and that and that going on in your business. And you're not noticing that, right? And she's like, yeah, I know. Because our words have roots. And when we pay attention to them without judgment, we can move so many things so much further forward. And at that nuanced level, that is a standout quality as an entrepreneur. All right, so take a moment for this unexpected, you know, mind training, but how perfect for our last call of practical applications. Yeah, this is a deep, deep dive. You know, this call goes to where you enter in. And when you enter into that level, the response is going to be at that level, all right? So take a moment to jot down your biggest aha from that segment. You go back and listen to it, you'll find 10 more ahas. And then we're going to go on to another piece of the call. I just want to empty the room out a little bit because otherwise our minds are full and we can't take in the next stage, the next piece. Take a moment, jot down your biggest aha. Sorry, I should have muted myself. You can hear my paper rustling. I'm finding my notes for you. All right, hopefully you've written down at least one aha. Let's hear one share, one sentence of one aha to put a small bow on this. I suggest you come back to this part of the recording. You'll find 10 more ahas, right? But one aha from one of you so we can tie a little bow and move on to the next segment. Who would like to share one aha, what landed for you? An aha can be a boof, a blinding flash of the obvious. Karen says, all we want is to accept all that is completely unacceptable to us. Thank you, Karen. Let's hear one more. Somebody to unmute and claim your aha. One sentence. And if this is getting results with your words, man, if you don't even know what you want to share, I would use this opportunity. Leap in, even if you don't know what you're going to say. As a practice of trust in yourself, trusting that your words are worthy. Thank you, Andrea.
For me, I think it's, you know, getting that clarification from Karen and now kind of trying to recognize what's underneath, which I do a lot, but that was just provided more clarity. I loved it.
Recognize what's underneath. And we're going to get to other layers of that today and in other places where we I hope, are going to continue to play together. And I'll tell you what they are in just a second. So recognizing what's underneath. Our companies actually flow at that level. It's not the surface level. Hey, do you want to buy this widget? Because this widget does these three things. I mean, that's not how things are actually happening, right? We want to get to that underneath level. The world works like story. The more we understand how that works, the more it's just a lot more fun. The more we get to work with our truly ideal clients and so on, right? So announcements. We've got so much for you. Let me see. We have an amazing content creator on the team who's busy creating beautiful handouts, cheat sheets, and reflection questions for this course. Module 4 handouts are in Story Freedom Academy now, and we're going to be adding additional handouts in the next few weeks. So this is newly created. This course, we've taught it over and over and over again, and like a number of times, but this is the first time we've had this. So practice sheets, these are ways that you can integrate what we're doing. So while this is the last class, these will serve you as a great review and a go-forward plan. Keep an eye on your inbox and check into Story Freedom Academy frequently. You're going to continue to have access to Story Freedom Academy until the end of the year. So I encourage you to go back and reference it. Awesome. I mean, I just about cried when I saw the last ones that came from her. They are freaking beautiful and so will help you consolidate what we've been teaching. So let me see. Am I going to put this in the... I'm not even going to put it in the chat. If I do, you're going to want to go over there. And I just want to share with you so much. It's going to be over there. Trust me, they're magnificent. You know, it's freaking awesome. I was so excited. So please remember to go over there and access those both as review and carry forward. For those in the Love Your Words community, a couple of housekeeping things. We have a full day Sales as Story workshop next Thursday. People have come out of an earlier version of this workshop selling a $2,500 program that they didn't even exist, that they didn't even dream of, that they never even thought that they could do without a background in sales the next day. people who've been dreaming of, you know, their next levels. Like, I want to sell my $10,000 program, and they've been actively working on it for years, and they sold it a few days later, never having done that before. I've had a teacher who teaches like all year long sales. And when she heard what we have accomplished in this community, she sent me a tithe, because like that just doesn't happen in the industry. You can go into trainings on sales that are into all year long. We do it in a day. We do it in a day and get unbelievable results very quickly. So please make sure that you've got that on the calendar for those who are in the Love Your Words journey, the year-long community. And for those in the year-long community, your monthly surveys are due. And so make sure to send those in right away. And some of you have completed several months in a row. We'll be announcing prizes soon. Keep an eye on the Love Your Words Facebook page for that announcement. And great work. If you haven't completed one this month, go ahead and get started. Let me see. They're due Monday, February 8th. There is something that I do want to put in the, let me go find it for you in the chat. Let me see. And actually, maybe I will put this in the chat, but please don't go over there now. But then you can copy and paste it so you can get there sooner than just going over to, will you promise me not to go over there right now, but just copy and paste it so you can go look at it after class? Okay. I learned that at university. It's like, don't hand stuff out, because people won't listen anymore. And they'll be reading the sheet, right? So, and I used to teach university. So, okay. So just go ahead and copy and paste this somewhere where you can access it. All right. And again, there's other ways that we're going to get that to you. Please don't go look right now. Please don't. All right. Was that persuasive? I don't know if those are persuasive words, but that's more like bleeding. All right. And let me find, goodness, where did it go? One more link for you. I just love to stay connected. And anytime I run across something for you that's going to benefit you, I'm going to let you know about it. And I've got another thing for you here. I thought I copied the link. Give me one second. Let me try one more again, one more time again. This is not my work. This is one of my teachers, friends, I don't know what even to call her, like mentors. She's an amazing, amazing woman. There's a content creation challenge that's going on right now that Brianna Day is doing. How many of you have heard of this? This is Sandra Yancey's daughter. Sandra Yancey is a huge mentor of mine. How many of you have heard the name Brianna Day before? How many of you knew about the content creation challenge? How many of you are involved in the content creation challenge? Oh, super cool. So that's nobody is, right? So it's almost at the end. It's happening live right now, but to catch on to what she's doing right now, I would just go over there. If you want to, like, it's 7.5 hours of training, and she is just freaking awesome. And she's selling it for like $47. So if you want to know how to just rocket your social media, we're going to do some pieces that are going to help you hugely with those words here in the next 45 minutes. Here's 7.5 hours of training from one of my mentors. We hung out in Thailand together when I was there 1.5 years ago. We ran off to do a massage together. Everybody thought that she was my daughter, and we just like resonate. I just love this woman, Sandra Yancey's daughter. She's going to be the one who runs the eWomen Network in like 8 years when Sandra steps down. And it's like access to 7.5 hours training. They won't send that out to you for another month, but I just strongly encourage you to just go invest that $47. It is off the chart. She's just giving and giving and giving, 7.5 hours of content for free. It's going to be related to what we're going to be talking about here too, giving your stuff away for free. All right. So don't go looking there now, because you will miss what's here. Please don't multitask. Just go cut and paste. Okay. So let me see. I'm going to cut and paste one more thing so that you will have those dates. You can just cut and paste it as well. So into a place where you can come back to it later. Let me see. So again, same thing, just cut and paste this, please. So many things I want to give you, as this is our last class too. It's like, here's part of the go forward plan for you. All right. And this is one piece of multitasking that go ahead and do if you want to right now. You can hear my words even as you quickly send an email if you want. We've got a couple things that, you know, I can't possibly teach you everything that I know about how to take your words now online and how to use your words in every other area, from team to affiliate marketing to email strings to the exact way to create your free gift, to like so many things. We can't possibly do all that in 45 minutes. And so I wanna give you another way to go forward. If you're in the year-long community, we've got all kinds of ways that we're connecting. If you're in the year-long community, don't miss this, right? So two pieces coming up. And again, one of the things that we need to do, it behooves us as entrepreneurs to do, is give away our stuff freely. Building know, like, and trust. But we need to know the structures for how to do that so we don't give away the farm. Just for that purpose, you're going to want to come to these two things, and if only for that. And so this is hot off the press. I am doing a Facebook challenge. It's April 19th to the 23rd. This is going to be a deep dive training, all right? And you can access it for free. Influence Through Story Challenge, the 5 stories every entrepreneur needs to ethically persuade and sell. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be 10 o'clock Mountain Time every single day that week. And I'm going to be giving away my very best stuff that I have never taught and trained in this way ever before. So just if you want to be on that priority list, we don't even have the copy out there in the world yet, but to be on the priority, our VIP list, and I promise, there are always rewards for the early adopters. Just send Amy a note and tell her, add me to the list. And then May 19th through the 21st, if you're in the year long, you have other dates for this. We push it back 3 weeks because we needed some room for the Facebook challenge and some other things. And I needed time to help my daughter, to be honest too. So the Story Freedom, Access the Power of Story to Create the Business You Love, 3 full days, May 19th to the 21st. Again, email Amy, you can put them both in the same email amy@michellegunderson.com to be on the priority list. Yes, I want to come. We don't even have the pricing structure for that yet, but I promise you it's going to be, we don't have the pricing structure, but if you're here and listening to my words, you have a bonus ticket to it. So both of these things is deep dive, hours of training where we can play together for free. So just let Amy know that you want to be there. Again, more than what we can do in 40 minutes, all right? So any questions about those? Those are all just announcements. Go forward plan. No questions? Clear? Please don't go over there. But just
yes, like, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for being so generous.
You're welcome. You're welcome. My pleasure. And then one of the things I want to teach you as we're coming to today is like, how do you do that and not give away the farm? We don't give away the farm, but we give a lot of stuff away. How does that happen, right? So that's part of, you know, understanding the structures. I want to give you some of that today, all right? So anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? I'm going to do some flat, straight out training that every single piece you're going to want to know from what we're doing from here. Anything burning to be said so that your mind is carried over here? Nothing? You're good? Okay. A reminder of some of the places we've been. I'm just going to mention words, not training about it, just a reminder. The 4 principles of persuasion, real communications. Why did my daughter get up and cross the room? Starting from close into far away. The structure of this course mimics and mirrors that. When we know how to network, we're going to know what to say online. And in fact, Brianna, who is a social media like whiz and branding, you know, she's a top on the planet, said exactly that. That was one of her core teachings yesterday. What you've got to do when you're online is speak to people the way you'd speak to them when you're talking to them. So everything that we've learned here, there's some specific things about particular genres, and you can go over to learn more from Brianna, like how many words should a Facebook post be? And I'm not going to spend time on that. And I'm learning, I'm a student over there too, right? What's the maximum number you're allowed and how many should you actually use? Well, reference her 7.5 hours of training. Go learn that over there, right? But what you need to know is start close in, and all the same principles are going to apply here. You are miles ahead of anybody who's just like hired a Facebook ads person and then dives in and doesn't know all these things that we've learned here, right? It's just understanding how that genre works is all we need to do, right? What's the genre of the video? What's the genre of, you know, Instagram, which is different from Facebook, which is different from an email campaign and so on, right? So networking personalities to emulate, to avoid, the principles of networking magic, the 10 keys to great speaking, the speaker storyboard, my 3 and 7 minute talks that you can emulate, my speaker one sheet, sales at the core of your business, and the joy of it. It was so neat to see Karen's just joy, right? Like I just made 7 sales. And what I learned was from that networking piece, and it like just changes everything. Like every single piece that we've learned here can move the needle so much in your company when you pay attention. There's nothing extra here. What a strategy session is and what it's not, the difference between a strategy session and a connection call, you're gonna love. Her name is Marie. She is gold. I love her. There's 2 Maries that work for this company, right? Marie H. She did amazing, amazing work to create both a reminder sheet for you and how you can tell the difference. How do I know when I'm in a strategy session so I can get away from those endless coffee clashes, somebody picking my brain for hours, right? I give stuff away, but in a structured way, all right? So helpful phrases that we learned last time, what made you decide to invest your time? Remember, and something that I wanna give credit to Jennifer Deepstrat, my dear friend, you know, one piece of endless training, you probably find this somewhere online from some of the things that she's done, right? In a strategy session, remember how you said you wanted X? Well, that thing, that's what I do. Only if that thing that they said that they wanted is what you do, right? Said in their own words. So we talked about that last time. Last time we talked about Uncle Bob and audience and purpose, the $50 game, right? Where to find clients right under your nose, the list of 10 ways for people to find you. We're gonna complete that today. And then I'm gonna go to like online and other places to use your words. So again, a lot of straight out training. That's just a reminder of some of the places we've been in just 5 weeks and now 5.5 weeks. Right? Any single one of those. We just dove into ho-hum and so what? The one piece out of the 10 pieces on the speaker sheet. And Marie, a couple weeks ago, was going like, oh my God, this changes everything for your life, right? Last time we talked about the so what and got a beautiful note from Jamie saying, oh my goodness, that changed everything for me and my company and the email string and so on. Last week from Marnie, it's like, I've been learning about ideal client for 2 years and in this call, and I never got it. And I finally know, and it finally landed from that one call last time. So everything here, go back and listen again. If you start at the beginning, you will hear different things, okay? So I want to complete that, how to find your ideal client right under your nose. This is going to be some straight out, flat out training for you. And then we'll get to a few pieces online and where else to take your influence further. So that's how we're going to wrap up this call and this series. But I've given you some direct places where we get to jump off from here and take a deeper dive. All right, so, oh goodness, I almost forgot to mention. Did I miss it on these handouts? Huh, okay, I've got a couple calls. One call done twice in February. Make sure you're paying attention to your inbox. I don't have the date right here in front of me. It wasn't in the announcements, but story mistakes. What mistakes do entrepreneurs make over and over again and what to do about it? Don't miss it. I think it's February 15th and 17th, and it's going to be in your inbox, all right? So it's another thing that I'm giving away for free, all right? So check your inbox for that. What are the story mistakes that entrepreneurs make? So lots of ways to take this further beyond the 35 minutes we have here. So 10 ways to find clients under your nose. First, you need to know what your offer is. What's the transformation? We don't know what it is we offer. I don't even know who needs it. I mean, sometimes it's so obvious. Again, deeper dive last time, right? You could look to an earlier version of you that will probably tell you something about what the transformation is. Often that helps, right? That's just one tip from last time. We did a lot more. That's step number two. Find an earlier version of you that will help you find that offer often. How is it that I help people? Third thing, have you helped people before? If you haven't, if you're at the early stages of your company, it might be volunteer work. For you, it might be if you've got a giant business that's already built, it's like look back to your previous clients to start honing in on, you know, where you're going to find clients like them. Number four, listening to the clients and the people you've helped, actually listening. And one really great exercise, talk to one person with 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth, not a whole bunch of people, not a demographic, right? And we talked last time about how demographics can turn into psychographics. I might not have used that language, but what it is that we want in a client, not just that they're over 40 or whatever it is, but how that translates into who the person is. Reference the call last time, all right? But number four, listen to the people you've already helped. Take one person, one client that you've loved, and just brainstorm a whole page of words about what they say, about what they've received. That one exercise alone could change the world for you and your company. And again, it might be somebody you've volunteered with, or it might be your own self earlier, right? Everyone can do this, whatever stage of your company you're at. Number five, actually interview your clients. You can listen to them in number four, like, what are their ahas? I'm doing that all the time. I'm always listening to you guys. What are you saying is, what do you think is important, right? But you can formally do that. Interview your clients, take your top 10 clients, people you've volunteered with, whoever they are. What are they actually saying? Hey, how has this helped you? When I say, for instance, your words matter, sounds like it comes from me, and it does come from me, but it came through Tracy, my client Tracy years ago. She said that. It was her biggest aha at one of our retreats. It's like, oh my goodness, my words really actually, it was embodied matter. Oh, right. As she said it, that's what I'm teaching. I just realized that as she said it. Listen to them, interview them, ask them. I've got number two, number fives here. All right. Number 5B. I gave you Dave Albano's way. Remember that Venn diagram of how to find your ideal client? I'm not going to review that. That was last time. Six, you got to know your client the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. And we were starting to hint at that at the beginning, where Andrea's going, oh, there's something underneath. There's something deeper that's going on, right? And so think about it. Why it's really great to study stories. You know, I like to turn to Star Wars. It's, you know, well known. Even if people haven't seen it, they've heard of Luke Skywalker, right? Why does Luke get in the first film that was ever released? Why does he get off his duff, get off the planet and go want to save the galaxy? We think and our messaging often is about like, well, go save the galaxy. It's nothing like that. When we know our ideal client the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, we will know things about them that they don't even know. We know stuff about Harry that Harry doesn't know. How does that happen? It's the novelists and the creators and the story makers that understand how desire really works, okay? We've got a whole, for those in the year long, the story mastery, we've got a whole series, a deep dive series on how story works at that nuanced level. But for here, with Luke, for instance, he is so driven negatively, like he's driven by Deveja. I've got to get off this farm or it's going to kill me, right? And I so want to be like my father, who I never got to know. Harry Potter has some of that too. Like there's themes that run, you know, like that run through our deepest desires, right? So we got to understand the story underneath. What's the desire underneath the desire that sometimes that person doesn't even know? So we want to know them the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. And it's not leaving people out. I talked to you last time about if I'm going to talk to my dad and Dana at the same time, I can't. I'm going to talk to Dana, but my dad, it doesn't exclude him. He might want to listen in and go listen to that story specifically from last time to get more on that. That's number six. Number seven. And I accidentally had two number sixes. Sorry about that. Or two number fives. So number seven, go find strategy sessions. When we're actually in conversation on the court with people, that's when we're going to hear what they say about what matters to them. And it's not a once and done. When I've done 1, 10, 100, 1,000, it's going to be in me. That's one of the reasons I can walk up to somebody when networking and I hear that in them. And I say something like, how did you know that? Because I've talked to many people in deep dive conversations before who have something energetically resonant and I've listened. Right? So go and find strategy sessions. We're going to do a little deeper dive in number seven in a minute. Number eight is simply do those strategy sessions. Go and find them first. Number eight is actually do them for the reasons I just said. Record them. Ask them if you can record them. And here's a wonderful phrase that I use at the beginning of strategy sessions. Are you okay if I record this call for the purpose of internal training within my company? It's not for them. Sometimes they'll ask for the recording and my mentors say, don't give them that recording. I give it. Right? It's like, start from generosity, start from giving, right? But that's like, oh, they might find out your secrets. I don't care. You know, it's okay. Great. Then they'll want to come back for more. Good. You know? Are you okay if we record this call for the purpose of internal training within my company? And then you have that. It's gold. It's training for you and down the way training for your salesperson, right? What is it that they're saying? How is that working? When you do hundreds of these calls, that's research. And your words that you can say online are going to come, you know, hinting toward online are going to come right from that page, right from that recording. you're going to reference that person, you know, you're going to say that came from that person, you know, whatever, it's going to stay anonymous. But the language is going to come right from doing it, being on the court and doing those strategy sessions. Number nine, these are all related to strategy sessions. Let's do whatever you want to call them, discovery calls. Number seven is find them. Number eight is do them. And number nine is get skilled at them. Get skilled at them. For those in the year long, we got an entire day on sales, a story next week, all right? But for here, there are a whole bunch of skills that we can master around doing strategy sessions. The biggest one that I want to give you is understanding the gap, understanding the transformation and understanding the gap. What is it that that person deeply wants at the most resonant level, and it comes from a deep, deep listening? I'm listening in my, you know, what is it that I offer? What's the benefit? What's the transformation? If I don't know, think of an earlier version of myself, go to those other pieces that I just talked about, find out what, you know, interview a client, find out what that transformation is, and I'm going to ask them questions that lead to that problem or not. Let's say it's, let's say I'm a weight loss coach and somebody comes to me accidentally, right? I was like, so, you know, exactly how many pounds do you want to lose? Well, none at all. I'm already completed that journey, but I'm really having trouble with my kid. Great. I refer you to this child care specialist, right? We shouldn't be that far out in our strategy sessions. They should be in our ideal client zone when they come to us, but we're actually there genuinely wanting to serve. We're asking questions that are related to the transformation in our area. And we understand the gap between where they are and where they want to go. Think Luke Skywalker. I so want to get off this planet. Our stories will tell us, right? I so want to get to know and be like my dad, who I didn't even get to know. What is this lightsaber thing? Tell me about it. And he's got other layers of desire too. That girl, she's really cute. I want to go rescue her, you know? Oops, it turns out she's my sister, but that's for a later movie, you know? So he has multiple desires running. We need to listen. We need to know the gap between where they are and where they want to really want to go at that deepest level. All right. Number 10, then understand how to translate your offer for them in their language. This is so important, and it comes out of doing all of those calls over and over again, over and over again, and then hearing how that person speaks of it. Think of this course, for instance, practical applications. Get results with your words. Maybe somebody comes in and says, nobody's ever listened to me before, and I'm at the beginning stages of my company, and I don't know what to say. What would it be like to actually be listened to? What would it be like if your words could land? What if you could find that even first client that could actually hear your words? That's all in the realm of what's being taught here, right? So it has to be genuine. It has to be authentic. And these are the benefits translated into that person's language, right? Thinking about practical applications again, you know, get results with your words. I'm a speaker and I speak in front of thousands. But somewhere down the line, there's a problem in my sales process and I don't know where it's breaking down. Or I'm telling a story on stage and it lands, but I'm tired of it and I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to take it to the next level. I'm speaking in front of thousands, but I don't know how to convert them later on. Great. Maybe it's something somewhere in your sales process. We talk about the different places, and how to sharpen your words in all those areas. So can you see, it's not like one size fits all. And in that conversation, I'm translating it into that person's language, always genuinely. I'm not going to say something that's not real. Maybe a person is a deeply spiritual person. In practical applications, if you want to get results with your words, it might be because you deeply are coming out of service. Well, what would it be to actually find the words to be able to serve that person in front of you so that you can be on mission on this planet? Isn't that something that could come out of practical applications as well? Right? So, you know, that's like, it has to be authentic, but that's what matters to that person. Maybe it's somebody who is interested in spirituality, just opening to that part, but that's not their language. So, maybe it's about, wow, you know, I always take the stats and I always am interested in sales and results. And I'm always measuring. great. Well, I'm so glad you're tracking. I'm so glad you're measuring. But what if you had the words to say it so that those results would come out better, right? Don't say anything that's not true, that thing is not actually offering. But number 10 is understand how to translate your offer for them. It comes from being on the court. And the story that I want to share with you here, something Laura Gisborne said in an interview, I want to give credit where credit is due. She was telling a story about sales. She was saying, I was on a, we bought a car for my son. The salesperson wasn't even that good. And we all landed on it, my husband, myself, and my son. But none of us had the same reasons for buying. Can we actually be on the court and listening to the person? It's the same car. It has different things that are beneficial about it. Can I listen to that live human being in front of me and see what matters to them and authentically offer that in their language if it's actually real? I'm not going to turn horse training into weight lifting, into weight loss, into what do they actually need? All right. Jot down the one that is the biggest opening for you right now. Right, I keep forgetting to translate. Oh, I'm not on the court having those strategy sessions. Oh, I could listen more and actually record them. There's many pieces that I just gave you. Jot down the one that you want to dive into first, just to empty out the room a little bit. Okay, and then let's just hear from one or two of you, not more than one sentence, the one place that you want to follow up on. Just so I know that you heard that, because I'm doing some flat out training here as we come to the end. I want to make sure we fulfill on the promise of the different pieces that we're doing here. And again, give you another place to keep playing here. Anne, go ahead. Oh, and you're muted.
I think for me, a piece that I always bring back to my mind is you can be a better listener, like to really listen. I love that part that you keep reminding us about.
Listen. If I'm not listening first to myself, I don't even know the stuff that's going on in my head. How am I going to listen to another? And then can I hone that skill of listening? The last chapter of my PhD dissertation dove into what that actually means. It was called listening differently. I spent years studying and understanding it. There's a whole bunch that you can get out there about listening, but we often miss it. Somebody, you know, even these mechanical things like I lean in, I repeat the person's words, but you know, people have done all those things and they're still not listening, right? Hasn't that happened? How do we actually do that? And this whole course has it as its premise. Networking starts there, doesn't it? Gotta listen to that person in front of me. If I'm listening, if I'm going to use their words, I have to have listened to what they're saying. Thank you, Anne. Beautiful. Let's hear one more really quickly. One more thing that you've picked up for you today, Marnie.
Get skilled at the strategy session about understanding the transformation, the gap that you want to address. That
was Thank powerful. You. Thank you. A friend of mine, my heart went out to him. You've heard the story before, hear it now, was wanting to grow his company, did umpteen things, did a pile of marketing, was always like in the midst of crazy activity and built stuff. And then never had conversations with people out of fear, out of not enoughness, out of all kinds of things. All that stuff that he built over years didn't go anywhere because he didn't have the conversation. So whatever it takes to have that empowering story to move you into that conversation. And sometimes we're in the world of thoughts and ideas, and the university sometimes there's only ideas and they don't go anywhere. Who cares? Then there's this world of action and actually doing and being on the court that Practical Applications is always encouraging you to do. Just do it. Go make mistakes. Just do it. Go network and see what happens. Just do it. Give the talk and see what happens, right? And then ideal client only afterwards, because I just want you on the court doing. And if you're not on the court doing, use an empowering story to bridge you from that world of ideas and thoughts and marketing and all that stuff into action. The empowering story is the bridge to get us into action, to be on the court, to actually have those strategy sessions, be willing to fail, be willing to be misheard, be willing to not get it. And the more and more we do over time, 10 years from now, some of you will have done, you know, some of you in here will have done countless of those conversations. Somebody in your same industry is still waiting to have that conversation. Can you hear the difference? entirely different areas, entirely different lives, entirely different companies. It's built day by day by day by day. Okay. Let's take a collective breath, inhaling. And exhale. And one more time, inhale. And exhaling. All right. Some key principles for getting results with our words online. I just pointed you to 7.5 hours training with one of my mentors, Brianna, that you can access for $47, I think it is. So like more than we can do here in 19 minutes. So gave you a tremendous resource, go lean in. But I wanna give you 11 key principles for online success. 11 key principles, and then I wanna show you some examples. This will not be a surprise to you. It's energetically resonant with everything we've done. Number one, and some of them you might go like, oh, but it's just an extension of the kinds of things we were already doing. It won't come as a surprise. Number one, whatever you do online, design it to create an ongoing relationship. This is key. I watched, this was at an author gathering once, a social media expert, but to me, they were missing the point. You're going like, you got your Facebook, you know, and then you're going to go bounce it over here to Instagram, and then you're going to bounce it over here to your LinkedIn, and then you're going to bounce it. It's like just bouncing around all over the place. The list still matters. That's yours. You own it. Yesterday, Brianna was telling a story about a woman who made a mistake in Facebook, didn't follow their structures, and they just shut her down. Had grown a huge business, made a mistake with some things that she posted on the personal page. She didn't even have access to her business page anymore. Just shut the whole thing down. You don't own that. You own your list. And your list is the place where you can continue that ongoing conversation. So whatever it is you're doing out there, gather them together on your list where you can create an ongoing conversation and just freaking love on those people, right? So design it to create an ongoing relationship. Online, we have a few seconds. We don't want to sell somebody something in a few seconds. And we were talking about that last time too, with Jamie was talking about when I do a talk, I want them to come work with me. No, you don't. You just want them to take that one next step. And if that next step is what enables an ongoing relationship, you are miles ahead, right? That's number one. Number two, give away free stuff. You're seeing me do this, right? Give away free stuff with a clear problem solution. You could hear me doing that here. And I'm taking you from here to more free stuff, like to continue that ongoing relationship, right? But the problem is we have 15 minutes left. I can't teach you everything I know about this in 15 minutes. Here's a resource, you know, start from generosity. And here's a way we can continue to play. What are those 5 key stories that every entrepreneur needs? I was like busy in creation mode this morning. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've never ever taught this. Every single entrepreneur needs this. And if they miss even one of them, the company goes down. And I'm gonna just give those away. So you can hear the PSPS that I'm doing right here, right now. I'm teaching you about the words, but how do they form into the stories and the right stories for you as entrepreneur, right? Well, please come to my free challenge, okay? So one, design it to create an ongoing relationship. Two, give away free stuff, but it's gotta have a clear PSPS, problem solution. When you give away free stuff, it's both to encourage people to come, start a relationship with you, right? A business relationship with you, and also to nurture your existing community. It has both of those functions. Like, we are already connected and I want to keep that nurturing relationship going, right? It's fun and easy to give away free stuff and we start where we are. We've already have a lot build, we can give more free stuff away. If we're just beginning, we create one free gift, for instance, right? Number three, repurpose. Right? I'm not the queen of repurposing. We're just really starting to do this in this company. We've repurposed a number of things, but let me give you one core example that's been in the company for years. The essential content in my free gift, Anatomy of an Empowering Story, is very, very parallel to the essential content in my talk, Stories That Sell. Stories are everywhere. They're empowering and disempowering stories, and you can choose. It is repurposed and it's sold. I can't even tell you how much. And it's the same idea. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. Number four, This is going to be you already have heard this in other places. What's the promise? What's the transformation? Not features. It's like it's going to be 10 calls and blah, blah, blah. What's actually going to move that person? And, you know, what is the transformation? What's the promise of that particular thing that you're offering, that product, that 5 teleclass series, that whatever it is? And you can see it right in the title. For instance, Influence Through Story Challenge. The 5 stories every entrepreneur needs to ethically persuade and sell. Is the promise right in the title? Like, that's what you're going to get when you come, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you need these 5 stories. You want to persuade, but not just persuade. It's how do we do that ethically? And if you want to sell stuff, we'll come to this. And also it's about gaining influence, right? So promise right there. Who's the audience? Refer to my Uncle Bob story. We need to know the audience. What's their top of mind problem? What are the bullet points for their pain? Go from problem to solution, right? The same things that we were learning over there in speaking. These principles apply online. And don't worry, we're going to have a nice handout for you for this. So if you're like, what is going fast? Just want to make sure that I give you these principles, then we'll show you how it works on the court with a couple of examples. Number 6, you've heard this before. What's the big domino? What's the one belief change that they need in order to enter into your world? Remember, I've talked about stories are everywhere. It's the same over here online. It's the same. Number 7, apply. I already mentioned this. Apply what you've learned in speaking here. The same basic principles apply. Ho hum, so what? I've been teaching about ho hum, goodness, for decades. And in call 3, Brianna said, one of the most important thing you need in social media when you're doing your Facebook post is you got to grab the audience's attention, right? It translates directly over there into social media. Do you get it? Ho hum, they're bored. They're not paying attention. How can you grab their attention? It applies directly. So apply what you've learned in speaking over here. The same basic principles, genres are going to be different, but the same basic principles apply. Number 8, use masterminding to figure all this stuff out. Lean in with your colleagues and community members here, for instance, to get to Influence Through Story Challenge. If you can hear the concrete promise in that, raise your hand. Does that make sense? It's like, you heard it. That took, I don't know, there were 20 other titles before this, run by at least 6 different people on my team. My Facebook ads guy, my marketing person, my salesperson, my accountability partners, a friend whose whole business is in sales. I mean, like, run it by other people. They will hear things that you can't hear. My area's words, I still do this, right? And think and grow rich, you know, like Napoleon Hill says, like the power of the mastermind. We can't get there alone. So use masterminding to figure out how you nail what the promise is and get it into the title, right? We had create your story, right? As an early, much earlier version. It's like, that sounds like I'm going to write a children's book. Oh, right. I didn't hear that. Right. So run it by others. Number 9, test it with your ideal clients and your mastermind partners. Test it on the court. Find ways to test it. You know, try it out on people when you're speaking to them. You can do testing. Send this subject line to your email list. Send this subject line and see what works, right? So test it. Number 10, understand, as always, the genre you are in. In social media, Facebook is not the same as Instagram, is not the same as Twitter. So the same principles apply. Master that genre and choose the one that you want to be in. Learn its particular rules. All the same principles will apply, but learn how Instagram works compared to Twitter. Facebook compared to Twitter. You need fewer words on Twitter, right? For instance, right? Okay. That's number 10, understand the genre. Number 11, have fun with it. Brianna was talking about the same thing. Like, social media is social. It's meant to be fun. We lose sight of that, right? So let yourself play with the words online as you do with networking. That essential principle is the same, all right? Okay. I want to just give you one of the things about taking your influence to the next level. I'm going to tell you, well, we've got a great place to play with that. We've got 5 days of training in April. We're going to be understanding more about that. And I like refer to that. And then also story freedom, where we can find out how to take the influence, our influence even beyond that in 3 whole days. So more than what we can do here in a couple of minutes. All right. But the thing that I'm going to assign to you is home play beyond the edges of this course is, where are those areas beyond the ones that we've mentioned here that you most want to apply your powerful words, right? Is it your team, your company vision, your mission, your free gift, your marketing plan, your inner game, always, your affiliates, video, social media, your own family, right? Other. So take some time to think about where, but these places that I've mentioned, they are foundational. If we don't know how to network, there's going to be a piece that's missing, for instance, right? So think about where you most want to use your words and how does it apply over here with my team, for instance, how does it apply? Okay. Did I give you the links? I didn't. So I'm going to give you one more place of links. And then I think what I'm going to do instead of going through them is just, I'm going to just take questions to see where you guys are. We're already coming toward, actually, no, you know what? I'm going to take questions beyond the edge of this call. So if anybody wants to stay late, I'm going to answer questions afterwards. Okay. Let me just find. Here it is. Okay. Okay, here it is. This is just for your eyes only, all right? But I just want to give you some examples, some things that you can model, all right? So you can cut and paste this. And what I've given you is some of the things that we've done online, story mistakes, our anatomy of an empowering story, our 7 quick tips, stories that sell now, and how these pages are converting. So like I say, we track these things, right? So story mistakes, we had almost half the people who go over there. These are good numbers, right? Click and say yes, you know? Anatomy, we run Facebook, we go run cold traffic to this. So it's a lower conversion rate because these aren't people that we're in close with yet, right? 7 quick tips, right? So more than half of the people say they want this, right? When we use it in giveaways. So you can take a look at these pages and model them. You're going to see all the same principles applied on all these pages, right? Stories that sell now, which converts at 59%. So track that. See how many people are clicking and saying yes. And if you're just beginning your company, you can do this as well online. You can join a Facebook group, start chatting with people, and then reference call number one. Do it just the same as networking, right? If you've already built a lodge, you can take a look at what we've done here and notice some of the nuance of it. Ask me questions about it. You can bring those questions to other places where we'll be playing together and in order to take your copy to the next level, all right? So the one I want to show you is... let me just see. I want to go to story mistakes just for a couple minutes here. And then you can go ahead and, okay, so you guys can see story mistakes. Here's just an example of one way that these principles are being used online. All the things I said, this is giving away free content. This is, we're sending this out to our list. We could send it out in other places as well. Right now, we're just sending this out to our list. And it has the deeper level desire of people right in the title, story mistakes. It's calling to somebody's pain point. Oh my goodness, I'm afraid that I'm making mistakes. A lot of entrepreneurs would say that I'm making mistakes, or I don't even know where they are. And this is going to pain rather than possibility. 3 reasons your personal story is blocking sales. It's a little bit provocative too, because everybody learns I'm supposed to use my personal story. It's kind of sort of working for me. Oh my goodness, the way I'm telling it might actually be blocking sales. I think I want to come to this, right? So that's one I'm telling you about. You can come to this. I'm running the same call twice. You can even come twice if you want, because you can see how I'm going to change it by everything that I learn in the first time I do it, right? So let me see. Pain points. have you shared your story? Hardly anyone bought what you offered. Asking them questions and they're going like, oh my goodness, right, that happens. Are you feeling frustrated? People don't seem to get what you can do for them. How do I know to say this? Because clients have told me these things, right? Do you worry that your story feels like a big brag fest, but you don't know any other way to explain the great things you do? Come and find out the mistakes that are happening and what to do about it, right? So you can model this page as a simple page, right? You won't struggle when you can express your story, discover how to link the pieces together to create desire for your offer, be fully and authentically yourself while you establish credibility and build trust. This is from pain to promise, right? Goes in the arc of a story from, oh, these things are bothering me. Oh, I could actually do this, right? And we go from here. This one hasn't always done that, but there's always going to be a call to action at the end, right? Same as with a talk. It's like, here's the next step. Here's the next thing you can do. So every one of these pages, you can take a look at them. You can model them. Let me show you just before we go. I'll take questions, ahas and questions beyond the edge of that of the hour. Let me show you another one. You see. Okay, so I'm going to share with you 7 quick tips, right? So here's another, you can see the page 7 quick tips. We've created another free gift. So we're all continually creating new free content. We started with just one thing, Anatomy of an Empowering Story. If you don't have a free gift yet, create one and you can model some of the things that we have here. 7 quick tips. People want quick things these days. In just a couple minutes, I can find out what I need for an inspiring story that sells. You can hear it's like almost the inverse of the story mistakes. A checklist for entrepreneurs who want to create memorable brands, become masterful storytellers, skyrocket their success. And here's the thing that you're going to get in this, right? These are exactly the things. Send me the guide. Just one click. Ask for their phone number. A lot of people will give it to you and then you can create that ongoing relationship with them. It all goes over to the list and then you can talk to them. Then you can serve them further. You can create that PSPS to see if they can dive into further work. It's not the principles of how we create effective words. What I want to share with you here, it's not rocket science, but it takes time to craft it. I encourage all of you to come to the Facebook challenge. It's the first time I've done this challenge. I'm going to give away a course that I know is going to be worth thousands of dollars. That is my intention. And I'm just going to give it away for free. So you can come with your questions about there as well. You can come with the next level for stories. But I just wanted to show you how we take it from networking to speaking to sales to online. And it's the very same principles that apply with those couple extra things that I added. Just have a way that you can enter into a longer ongoing conversation. That's your list. Have a strong PSPS. What's the problem I'm solving? What else are they going to need? And all the stuff that we've already been talking about powerful words applies. All right. I know that was really quick, but I was not going to leave those really important questions at the beginning unanswered. I gave you all of the essence. We didn't leave anything out. I gave you all the essence of what I wanted to give you. We didn't play with those pages as much as we might have. But again, feel free if you're in the ongoing, we got a whole day for some of you to deep dive next Thursday. For others, we may be doing private work. Others, come and talk to us and we'll see you hopefully in the February class about story mistakes. It's some really important content that every entrepreneur needs to know, right? So different ways to play on the other side of this. Always about creating those ongoing real relationships, right? Right, back to real with Dana. All right. I'm going to officially end this call. Thank you so much for being here. It's just been a pleasure and an honor. I'll officially end this call for those who need to leave right on the hour. You'll be able to access the rest of the recording in Story Freedom Academy. Remember to keep checking back there because those things that I went through really quickly will be there for you as worksheets and exercises. You can continue this work going on the other edge of it. That Story Mistakes call is coming up in just a couple of weeks. And you can learn from the principles of speaking, right? You'll see me actually doing that call on the court. And all the time we're experimenting, we're playing, we're doing the next iteration, right? So you can come and watch how that works. let's end this call officially. I love you, love and adore you guys. I look forward to playing with you further. Bye-bye for now, if you need to leave now. And then we'll stay with those who want to stay beyond the edges of the hour. First for some ahas, and then I'll continue here with whoever has questions. I want to end though with that round of ahas, as we always do, one aha, one inspired action, so that I get to hear what was important in all that for you, and you get to hear it too. And then one action, so it's not all head knowledge. What's one check-offable action? There could be many from this that you want to take out into the world. Oh, right, I could have a free gift. All right, I could create another free gift. Oh, when I do that, they needed that single domino. Let me go back to the speaking sheet because it's probably going to apply over here. Like there's umpteen things that we could actually do with this. So Karen, you're up in my upper left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action to take us home.
Oh, well, you inspired me to start picking up my boots. In terms of my lead magnets, I've just been looking at them as you've been speaking, which I was not supposed to do, so I apologize for that.
But no worries.
Yeah, there's so much that what I've realized is I get comfortable. So when I'm earning a lot of income, everything's going well, lots of clients, happy clients, it's like I find I stop doing new things. Mm-hmm. And so this is inspiring me, like, yeah, there's so much I could be doing. And I've just gotten a bit complacent. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. We hit a ceiling that we don't notice and other people around us don't notice. It's one of the problems of success. Like, wow, aren't you doing great stuff? Yeah, I'm doing great stuff. But if we actually look inside, we know there's more.
Yes.
And that's where the cutting edge is. That's where it's fun. That's where it's playful. That's where I get to stretch and see more and more of all of who I am. So thank you for underlining it. That, for those who come back and listen in the recording, could be the most important aha for somebody who even just left. Thank you for that. That is one of the results of what we just taught. Never not nailed like that or not explicitly articulated until you said it here, but it's implicit in what we've said. So thank you for that. Beautiful articulation of this. Thank you. And then what's one inspired action? Check offable so that it actually has a real result in the real world.
So I'm going to connect with my son and I'm going to write up a new, offer, a new free something and have him put it out to my list and social media. So we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. I feel inspired to do that.
How fun is that? And the life that comes back in and the joy and the creator of all of that. Thank you.
You're
beautiful,
welcome.
Beautiful place to be rounding up our series here. Thank you. And again, if the three of you still here need to leave at any moment, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I will stay till the last person leaves and answer questions. All right. Thanks, Karen. Marnie, one aha, one inspired action.
My aha was their language, their pain. I think, that's really important for me to get through my mind, that it's really about how they express it, not a.
I'm so glad you heard that. And hopefully those examples that I gave just from this course itself, there are many benefits to this, but every person comes here for a slightly different reason, like that selling of that car. So what is it for them, that listening, that deep listening? Thank you. Your inspired action.
Well, to get on the quote, so to get that ideal client defined and find one person and do a strategy session.
Thank you. Otherwise, this is just a nice idea. And we're not on the core. We're not making offers. We don't have a company. We don't have a business. And it's so not fun. It's so much more fun to actually be in service on the core, not making the mistake of that beautiful man that I talked about who just like had all this stuff. It looked like a ton of activity and nothing was moving. So it's just whatever it takes to actually do that. Thank you for that. Yes.
I have a quick question though.
Can hang on, because I want to make sure that we get to Jasmine's one aha, one inspired action, then we'll get to as many questions as we. I'm here.
Did you say that the story freedom?
So, Marnie, just hang on a sec. Because we want to hear from Jasmine first.
Okay.
And then I'll stay to answer questions. Okay. One aha, one inspired action, Jasmine.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. My mic has been acting up. One aha is to always come late, even if it's just with 20 minutes left, because in this 20 minutes, I got so much from that 11-point checklist. I've never seen that 11 points all together before, but I've gotten every bit and piece of it in different places before from you. And going through it, I just feel so in alignment with what I'm doing right now. And the reason why I'm late is because I got messaged this morning about an awesome initiative a friend of mine is doing where she's hosting weekly networking events that you only have to pay $3 to enter, and you only pay for the days that you go. So equity and justice, and really awesome.
On the court doing what we learned from number one.
I just Jasmine. Went,
fantastic.
And got a strategy call from it. Just by talking. And also am working on my book and was late because I got lost in that and I just was having fun with it and it was just flowing. And so it feels really great to have done all of that and be in such alignment, even if I wasn't here for most of
it. So here's the thing, and you can hear too, this, I'm so excited to do those story pieces later on because we can hear both the empowering pieces of your story and the disempowering ones that you might not even be aware of. It's like, because some of those are reasons and not, and you could, can you hear that I'm not forgiving myself for being late, even though I'm telling you about the great stuff that happened? There's something going on for you here. And so our stories are just sitting on our shoulders. We're going to talk more about that. The two events I mentioned, right? It's sitting right there on your shoulder for all to see. Who, and sometimes they will see it. I see it consciously. Some people are going to pick it up unconsciously. It's okay. You got what you got from this. And I'm so happy about that other activity. Great stuff. And again, another real insight about how story works, just right here at the very end of this series. And then all, the other piece I want to say is, yes, that 11-point checklist, you haven't seen it because I've never presented it, even in this series, in that way before, because I'm always on the cutting edge. I'm always creating that next level. And that's what makes it fun and interesting for me, too. I know things that I didn't know a year ago when I was teaching this last time. Always on the cutting edge, always up leveling. That's what makes it fun. So that's why you haven't heard it, because it hasn't existed until this series here and now in that form for you guys here. So one inspired action, Jasmine, to take us home, and then we'll go over to questions. One action, one checkoff action.
My inspired action is there is a speaking event I signed up for this week that I didn't feel ready to go to, but I have until the 31st to go and present, and I am going to do that.
Fantastic. On the court, I said one of the most important things about speaking, I set a date. Once I set a date, the talk's going to happen, because everyone here, everyone still listening to my voice in the recording, you guys here, you're in integrity. You will not serve that audience. So it's going to happen. Most important thing about speaking, set a date, go do it. Thank you for that. All right. And Marnie, thank you for holding the question. Karen, I think you had, did you say earlier too, you had a question, or just staying till the end of the ahas, but this is the now official end of the aha.
I'm good. I have no questions. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. So I'm going to stay. It looks like it's you and me, Marnie, with the questions, and I will stay to answer that question. You guys can get it in the recording. Thank you so much for being here. Have a fantastic day. Jasmine, thank you. It's great to see you. And Marnie, let's take your question. Others will catch it in the recording. Jasmine, you can stay for the question if you choose. Right? I'm not trying to chase you away. You got to go. That's fine, too. So, Marnie, your question.
It's just a logistical question. Did I hear you say that the Story Freedom Virtual Retreat had been moved from April to May?
Correct. Yes, you did. So thank you for noticing that. We haven't updated our calendar yet, but that happened for a multitude of reasons. And this is the first place that I've announced that. So Yes, it is. Get those new dates onto your calendar, please. It's going to be a deep, deep dive, 3 days. So thank you for asking that. And that was your one question, Marnie?
Yeah. So the new date is May 19 to 21, correct?
Hang on. I've got it. Whatever it was in the chat there.
Okay. I don't have it right in front of me.
It's May. I think that sounds like it. Yes, here it is. May 19th to the 21st. I'm looking at the Zoom.
Okay.
And then the Facebook challenge, April 19th to the 23rd. So get those dates into your calendar. Thank you for letting me reemphasize that. Okay. If there are no further questions,
thank you for being here.
Have a fantastic day, everybody. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks. Bye.